Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
That's the show you showed up on, Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. That's where you went. We didn't do that. I mean, he went on that platform. That's the platform you want. Like, yeah. There's a lot of other platforms.
Absolutely.
I mean, 10 to 12, it's a crap time slot. It honestly is. Sorry, Louie and everybody. But, like, that's where you show up.
Oh, boy. Mark Blakenbaker starting off with a bang. Yeah, that's what you did, Rick Pitino. Do you know what you did? This the roundtable here on ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm James Strebel. Max Godbee will be along shortly. James Black is back today.
I'm James.
Yes, sir. Glad to have him. He's in for the mixtape. That'll be about 5:25 or so. Got to get at like 5:18 because it's a banger. Folks, it's got plenty of sound. We'll revisit all of it. 3:45, Jonathan Littner from Racing Lou in Lou City FC. He'll call in, give us the update, and you just heard the promo before the show. Big happenings at Lynn Family Stadium this weekend, so he'll give us the details about that and plenty more here on the show, live in the Liquor Barn Studios. 437-9680. It's a hot one out there. I was at a my daughter's softball game before I came in here, James, as you see. I'm in my Fusion regalia.
Yes, sir. I see it.
There
how
you
do?
They won 7-0.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, they've got another game at 4:30. So if I'm periodically checking my phone, I'm watching Game Changer to see how she's doing. So it's a hot one out there. If you're a construction worker or you're working outside, first of all, thank you. Please stay hydrated. It's a hot one. And this is my final show until after the 4th. I'm going to be out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. Max Godbee, Jeff Lightsey, and Anna Tarullo will have you those days, as I'll be headed to Cooperstown, New York, with my oldest son doing the baseball tournament up there. So it should be really, really fun. Very much looking forward to that. So, you know, just give you a little show update. Only 3 days next week. The stations offer the 4th of July holiday, Thursday and Friday. So just a little bit of an update before we go and
it's
head
a
in
crap time slot.
James, I was listening this morning and I was, as Andy used to say, I was a pig in slop. I was a pig in slop this morning as I was listening to Blank and Jeff and Ethan just take a flamethrower to Rick Pitino and KSR. It was great. It was great.
I was behind the board first time in a long time. I forgot it was how Blink was. I forgot. Well,
we set it up yesterday, James, because I told Andy when he called in at 5 yesterday, I was like, Diener's not going to be here to calm Blank down. Like God bless Jeff. Jeff tried to do his best, but it was Blank unfettered. And
Jeff had strict instructions from Drew, so
oh, he did.
He failed.
Well, Drew knows. He doesn't show with Blank every day. He knows once he's on that, he's a runaway train. He can't be stopped. There's nothing. He's going to run over Jeff. We love Jeff. He'll run over Jeff. He runs over Diener. It's like me. When I get going, I get ahead of steam. Max and Anna just sit back and stare. There's nothing. It's like last night in the debate when Trump said, I don't know what he said, and I don't know if he did either. that's kind of like...
He did not.
that's kind of like me. When I get going, Max is like, I don't know what you just said, and you didn't either. So there we go. And just before we get started, I have to address the elephant in the room, which is the debate. Yes, I watched it. Of course, I watched it. And it was one of the saddest, funniest things I've seen as a human being in politics. I'm not in politics, but just in politics in general. It was a hoot. The memes were fire. They still are fire. There's nothing we can left. We can do now but laugh or cry. I choose to laugh because I'm not much of a crier anyway. So I'll just laugh at the entire thing. I'll say this: Donald Trump is more like John Calipari than I ever imagined. In this respect, they're both different. You know, off the camera, but in front of the camera, on a mic, you could ask them a direct question and they'll do anything in their power to not answer that question, to divert, to have their own talking points. That's the number one thing that stuck with me with Trump. I just could not help but compare him to John Calipari, to some extent Rick Pitino as well. All three of them are cut from the same cloth in terms of in front of a mic or in front of a camera. And then Joe Biden is lost. he's gone. He's gone, folks. There's nothing else I can say. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig. He had a cold. It was CNN's fault. Jake Tapper should have stopped it. He should have interrupted more. It's just, there's nothing they could have done. There's nothing anybody could have done. It was sad. It was funny. It was all of the above. So wherever your political leanings lie, wherever you find yourself on the spectrum, unless you're one of these staunch people that side with one or the other, no matter what, you couldn't have come away feeling very confident. So that's all I'll say about it. But I had to address it. It's the number one topic in the United States, maybe in the world. I'm sure Putin and Kim Jong Il and Xi Jinping were watching and laughing too. So that might make me cry. And that itself made me cry. But anyway, let's talk about more happy things and sports related things. So the NBA draft wrapped up yesterday, and the biggest has there ever been the second round of an NBA draft that has as many storylines as that one? I mean, you had the Kyle Filipowski stuff, which we'll get to. You had Antonio Reeves going 47th, which I thought was a good spot for him. Not that I know anything about the Pelicans, but the fact that he's getting a chance in the league, I think, is very, very good. Dalton Connect went 17th or whatever. Their numbers in the SEC were damn near identical. I mean, they were super, super similar. I think Reeves actually had more rebounds than Connect did. So I mean, that's a guy in Reeves that he's a little older. Actually, no, they're not. They're about the same age, because he was a fifth year senior or whatever he was too. So it's interesting that Connect, I guess it's because of his athleticism and his ability to dunk and do some other things. But in the NBA, the modern NBA, where shooting is at a premium, and that is what teams look for, I'm excited for Antonio Reeves. And I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be a star, or he's going to, you know, turn into a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or Devin Booker. No, I don't think that'll be the case. But I do think that he can be a very good NBA player and hang around on teams for a while because of his shooting ability. And the fact he's able to do that. So happy for Reeves. in that instance. But the big Kentucky story was Justin Edwards. Obviously, he didn't get drafted. And, you know, going from a guy, I think there was a stat, like there's never been a player that was ranked in the top three or four of the high school recruiting rankings and did not get drafted. Edwards was the first to ever do that. That's a record you don't want to have. And as we watched the Bronny James stuff fall out, and, you know, Rich Paul, you know, doing the thing before he was drafted. If anyone drafts Bronny James other than the Lakers, he didn't say that, but he says if any teams try to draft him, he'll play in Australia. That was like no one was going to draft Bronny James but the Lakers. That was everybody knew that. As soon as the Bronny James decided to opt into the draft, everybody knew where he was going to go. He was going to the Lakers and not play. Actually, I don't know. LeBron's called the shots anyway. He got J.J. Redick hired. He got his son drafted despite having no stats in college. So he may play. He may start. LeBron James says Bronny's going to start, I guess he'll start. So we'll see how that goes. But the way Rich Paul put on for Chris Livingston in the previous draft, and the way he put on for Bronny James, Justin Edwards is probably like, hey, what about me? Because he's a clutch client. He is a kid that was highly thought of, highly regarded in the pre-draft selection, you know, before he actually played at Kentucky. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend and act like Justin Edwards was good at Kentucky. He had a couple highlight games. That Alabama game obviously stands out, where he scored 31 or whatever it was. But other than that, his, you know, one season at Kentucky was a disappointment as far as what we all expected out of Justin Edwards. Bad advice for him to opt out of returning to college and go and stick in the draft. I wish he had better people to talk to him. Maybe it was his decision. Maybe he was the one that solely decided, hey, I'm not going back to college. There's no sense in it. I'm going to go ahead and strike while the iron's semi-hot and go off of my high school credentials and my pre-draft status before the season started, and I'm going to go myself. I doubt that's the case. All of these players have multiple people in their ears all the time when it comes to these big decisions. And I don't think that they told Justin Edwards the right thing to do. You look at the two other guys that were as highly regarded as he was on that team, Aaron Bradshaw and DJ Wagner. Bradshaw went to Ohio State. Wagner goes to Arkansas. I think both made really good decisions. Aaron Bradshaw right now looks like he will be drafted right around the lottery, backside of the lottery, or you know, later in the first round. But he's already showing up on next year's draft boards. Wagner hasn't yet. You know, he's got a lot to prove, a lot to show. So does Bradshaw, to tell you the truth. I mean, there were times this season where he couldn't really get on the floor very much, depending upon the physicality of the game. But I guess draft analysts are banking on him getting bigger, stronger, having a full offseason of workouts, and then we'll see the real Aaron Bradshaw. But at least he gives himself a chance to be drafted. At least DJ Wagner gave himself a chance to be drafted in the future. Justin Edwards signed a two-way deal with the 76ers. Of course, Calipari did his thing, went on Twitter and told everybody what a great deal that is for him. And he's texting with Tyrese Maxey, and Maxey's going to take him under his wing and this, that, and the other. And all that may be well and good. But so far for Justin Edwards, this has not been a success story for him in his time in Kentucky. And we've seen multiple players, not just in Kentucky. Look at Kyle Filipowski. I know he got drafted, but he was a lottery pick last year, came back, fell to the second round. But this is something that, you know, we've seen time and time again, where some of these guys come in and they decide to stick in the draft when all things are telling them not to, and then they get left behind. Justin Edwards, to me, is probably the saddest of them, based upon how he was thought of and the ceiling that he, I still believe, has. but he just never showed it. And there wasn't really any growth in his game. We never saw really his ability to put the ball on the floor and attack the basket. Actually, that was one of the things that I think he was worst at. I mean, how many layups and dunks and bunnies and things like that did Justin Edwards miss last season? His outside shot was iffy, non-consistent. There were games that he was hot. He could hit those outside jumpers and some three-pointers, but he just was not consistent enough to do it. So his draft profile based upon college just wasn't very good. And we'll see what happens to him in the future, but it's going to be difficult. And there's not a lot of guys that sign these two-way deals that turn out to be legit NBA players, dare I say a star. And I from what I've seen from Justin Edwards, I don't think that's going to be him. I think he'll float around the G League, and ultimately he'll end up overseas somewhere. I hope that's not the case. I hope it works out. I hope he becomes an NBA player in a rotation, whether that be in Philadelphia or anywhere else. But his skill set just doesn't seem to be developed enough. So we'll see how that goes. Now, there are already Rookie of the Year betting odds out there. As you know, our good friends at all the gambling websites already have those up ready for you to peruse and check out and go ahead and make some future bets if that is your deal. Obviously, Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard are on this list. And so Sheppard is currently plus 1,100 to win the award. Alex Saar, who went number 2 overall, is the favorite at plus 400. Dalton Connect is another one. He's plus 1,200 to win the honor. These are all per DraftKings, by the way. Per DraftKings are these odds right now. So these are per DraftKings. Okay, and then if you look at Rob Dillingham, one of the best shot creators in the draft, he's plus 2,000 to win Rookie of the Year. And obviously with Dillingham, his situation's a little different as he'll be behind Mike Conley and Anthony Edwards. And I think what the Wolves are doing, and this is what I said yesterday, kind of have him go under the wing of Mike Conley and figure it out from there, and maybe flip him the keys in a year or two when Mike Conley retires, because his retirement age is almost upon us. Okay, so if you want to get some Rookie of the Year bets down, you can do that. And those are some of the odds right now coming in. So good overall, I think a pretty good draft for the Kentucky guys outside of Justin Edwards. And Trey Mitchell also signed a two-way deal. I forgot where he signed his two-way deal, but I wasn't. His non-draft story isn't as juicy as the Justin Edwards non-draft story. I don't think many people expected Trey Mitchell to be drafted, and he didn't have the hype that Justin Edwards had coming into the NBA draft. So him not being picked isn't what I would call a red flag or anything like that. Now, obviously, Louisville once again has another year where they didn't have anybody drafted, and that's something that they not even Trenton Flowers, who was once a card. That would have been awkward. What would Louisville fans have done if Trenton Flowers would have been picked? Would they claim him since he was a Louisville commit there for a while and was with the team for a month and a half, or however long that was? But obviously he didn't wow the NBA with whatever he did in Australia. I know we followed that for about 2-3 weeks and then nobody cared. Nobody talked about Trenton Flowers. But what's this going to look like next year for Kentucky? What's this going to look like next year for Louisville? Who are the guys that you're honing in on to possibly be in the NBA draft? I think for Kentucky, the one guy that you look at is Jackson Robinson. I mean, he almost went this season. He's on a few early draft boards in the first round, going in like the 20s range. So I think that's if you're going to bet on somebody from Kentucky's team, at least, that will be in consideration to be drafted in the NBA's first round, I think he's the number one guy that you look at. We'll see what happens. If some of these other guys might blow up and do something. And for Louisville, I don't really Terrence Edwards, is he a guy, the guy? Chucky Hepburn? The problem is all of these guys are older, and we know what NBA draft people and NBA bigwigs think when it comes to general managers and such, think when it comes to older players. They rarely get the benefit of the doubt the way some of the younger players do. Now, Dalton Knecht was, you know, kind of the exception to the rule as he went in the first round. He was an older player, but he did have an amazing season for the Volunteers. There's no getting away from it. He was really, really good. I don't know if I agree. Gosh, I was listening to somebody yesterday, and they were saying, like, basically, it was John Ball. That's who it was. He used to be a Lakers fan, and he was like, oh, yeah, that's the one thing I think that really puts the Lakers over the edge was Dalton Knecht. And, you know, we'll see. I don't see him that way. Maybe he will be. Maybe he'll go in there and it'd be an NBA stud. We'll see. And it was just funny to me that he was the older guy that really seemed to get the benefit of the doubt from the NBA scouts. And again, he should have been drafted the first round. I would have taken him around that same area if I was an NBA GM. So that kind of, you know, we'll look at some draft final grades and things like that as the show moves on. There'll still be some Patino tentacles lying around that we'll grasp onto as we go through the show today, is that story still dominates local sports talk radio, local sports columns in the Courier Journal, WDRB, the Lexington Herald Leader, and so forth, as those reverberations still shake through the area. All right, 437-9680. Let's go ahead and look at some text lines. First text I see coming through here: Rick Pitino's horse just won at Aqueduct. The man is on fire right now. I wonder if that was a horse that he and Stoops own together. Is that a horse that he and Mark Stoops have a partnership in? Congratulations, Pitino, there. Let's see here. My all-time favorite Strebel click was hoping this got played yesterday after the big commit. I don't know what this is. I'll click it, listen to it during the break. Texter, an image. Sean Paul, college basketball. Sean Paul, CBB on Twitter. Former Kentucky, Justin Edwards is the first top three recruit to go undrafted as far as I can find on 247. Back at least 2003. It's not pulling up the class is between 99 and 2002, but it's been over two decades since a top three recruit didn't get drafted. Yeah, that was the tweet I was referring to earlier. I mean, good grief, man, that's rough. That is rough. Texter, we are a hell lot better off than 4 years ago. Plus, no wars. No wars. You seen Ukraine? you seen Pakistan and Israel? I mean, well, where are they getting those weapons? Us. who are they getting money from? Us. So I don't know what that's about. Texter, all next week, y'all have to open the show with did Viper hit a home run sound and then call in to let us know. It's not Viper going in Cooperstown. It's Kellen. Wyatt is Viper, but he has a tournament this weekend, but I'll have to miss it because I'll be on the road to Cooperstown. Texter, I played in Cooperstown when I was younger. Your son will love it. Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to it. And it's like a vacation for me, too. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you all. I have my own Airbnb. The rest of the family is staying back because my other two have tournaments this weekend, and then we didn't want to bring the baby all the way up to Cooperstown and all that stuff. So it's just me and Kellen. And Kellen has to stay in barracks with his team and coaches. So essentially, it's just me by myself. And I packed a lot of books. I'm going to get, you know, plenty of beers once I get up there and get settled. But I get a little, like, me vacation, which I never thought would ever happen again in my life. So I get essentially a week kind of by myself, and unless I'm, you know, at the ballpark, or, you know, some of the other parents, they'll invite me over to their Airbnbs and we'll hang out and, you know, go out to eat and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's just kind of me and hanging out. Texter, oh no, blank destroyed Pitino, your new hero. Hey, Pitino was a hero of mine in the 90s. Listen, y'all have heard me wax poetic about young James Strebel in middle school, so pumped about 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 Patino and the Cats of the 90s. So, yeah, Texter, it's hot. Cut 3 yards before coming to Hot GE Warehouse for work. Yeah, brother, stay hydrated. Stay hydrated. Let's see here. Texter, UofL fans didn't have any problem with Patriots' loyalty or Patino's loyalties when they hired him after he was the Kentucky coach that won a national championship and beat their school year after year. Yeah, they didn't have any loyalty issues then. Texter, in Pakistan and Israel at war, do you watch the news? Do you pay attention to anything going on? I'm sorry, not Pakistan, Palestine. Sorry, Palestine. I misspoke. Palestine. Sorry, the Palestinian Hamas. I apologize. Thank you, Texter, for calling me out on that. That was a brain fart by me. Texter, Kellen about to get his first BL this weekend. No, I'm not. No, he's not going to be drinking any BLs. Last text, then we'll take a break. Texter, Blank was on one this morning. Quality sound for the mixtape. Big Rig called it yesterday. I told you all that he was going to do that. I told you that he's going to run over Jeff Leitze. I called that bleep. You're damn right I called that bleep. Let's go. But Blank should have been mad. If roles were reversed, the little role play on Monday, a little role play on Monday. If roles were reversed and I was the Louisville fan, but Tino said all that stuff, I would be as bad as Blank. All right, there we go. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take a break. On the other end, we'll get Max Godby in here. Gooby himself, Gooby Fett. We'll also we'll talk to Jonathan Littner and get an update on what's going on at Lynn Family Stadium this weekend. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, so hopefully you can make it out to the old soccer stadium and check out some football. Before we do that, let me tell you about my good friends over at Tri-State Men's Health. That's right, Tri-State Men's Health. If you're suffering from erectile dysfunction and you want the right treatment for your specific medical situation, head to Tri-State Men's Health, okay? They'll take a look at your blood work. They'll test your PSA levels, your testosterone levels. It's a $99 consultation fee, and, you know, they'll give you a test dose in the office if it's medically advised. If the test dose doesn't work, then that fee is waived, but it's going to work and it's going to be fantastic. Those treatments they have are 90%+ effective and could have you lasting more than an hour and bring the romance back into your life. Bring the connection to your significant other back into your life. Fix a problem that is totally 100% fixable and do that using my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Give them a call, 800-900-9654, or visit them at tristatemenshealth.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
The worst coach that has ever coached basketball of all time. 4-28. I hate.
I would feel the same way. I mean, yes. I truly would. But, you know, I've.
Welcome back to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
I really liked Sofro's there. That was great. Just inside Churchill Downs right after us tonight, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Then after that, Reds at Cardinals, 7:45 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. And I'm sure many of you are excited about the TBT. So if you want to save 15% on TBT tickets, use the code TBT Lou 15. That's TBT Lou 15. And the TBT gets going July 20th at Freedom Hall. So check that out. Hello, Max Godby. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm doing well.
We were commenting on Max's ensemble today. And he has a salmon colored button up Ocean Coast shirt. And I'm jealous. I like that shirt a lot.
So
that says me all over it.
This is 100% my wife. She does not like, because usually you've seen me what I wear when I come in here.
Yeah.
It's usually a Salty Dog t-shirt, a hat.
Right.
And I think it got to the point where it's like, all right, obviously you're not going to go through a midlife crisis over how you look. So right. Someone needs to. And so she's been working very diligently of trying to figure out what my next look is.
Yeah.
And she said the double pocket ensemble works best for me. And
now, I was like, does it have the vent in the back?
Oh yeah.
That's
the vent.
That's what I'm talking about.
She got me one for the first month of tailgating also, a UK one.
Oh, cool.
Oh yeah. It's a Columbia UK one as well. And I was just like, I like this. Like, it's comfortable.
It's very comfortable. Yes. You know now why I'm wearing all these button-ups.
The only times... We've got a great marriage, but every single time an argument happens, it's over clothes. It genuinely is, because I just don't care about how my physical appearance looks like when I'm not in like an office setting.
Yeah.
Like when
I'm with you.
Like even when I walk into the office like after hours or over the weekend, I go to pick something up and they see me in my ball shorts, the Salty Dog hat, my Hey Dudes, and they're like, oh, you look different. I said, yeah, this is usually my work.
Yeah, this is what I wear. Yeah, this is my normal clothes. And that's two things on that. If your marriage, if the main thing that you're arguing about is clothing, I think you guys are in a great
that
spot.
And gardening. We've got some deep philosophical issues when it comes to our gardening styles as well.
Well, that's still, I mean, those still are,
exactly.
That's still great. I mean, it could be a lot worse. And the second thing is, I mean, you see how I dress. We're in the same boat. Like, I don't care. Like, the days of me, you know, dressing up, and even if I'm, you know, coming into the studio or I'm just out and about at the grocery store and I'm like, I'm trying to look nice, those days are done. That train has left the station.
I don't understand people that dress up for doing their show, because there was several people when I was over at WVLK for just like the regular week that like dressed to the nines while they're on air, and my attire had never changed.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why?
No one can see you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the listeners are peeking in.
It's like dressing up just for James Black.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, which I'm not saying he's not worth that.
He is worth that, yeah.
But I'm just saying it's weird.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like, the way you're dressed right now is dressing nice for me. If I'm dressed like that when I come to the studio, that's, you know, that's me putting some effort into
it.
Well,
I put in effort today because today's my dad's birthday.
Oh.
And so I'm leaving right from here to go to his birthday party.
Let's go!
Yeah, so big happy birthday to Jeff Godby.
Happy birthday, Jeff Godby. How about that? So what's the birthday party entail? You had a little dinner, cookout? What are you going to do?
We're going to do Mexican food, and then we already celebrate a little bit of his birthday on Wednesday, but my aunt and uncle have come in from South Carolina, so we're going to hang out with them. Get some, go out to eat, then come back to the house afterwards.
All right, let's go. All right, happy birthday. There we go. All right, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Jonathan Littner will call in here in about 8 minutes. Max, you weren't on yesterday, but I'm sure you've seen via Twitter the Rick Pitino stuff that dominated the airwaves yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, sucks, doesn't it?
And this morning, no, it was great for me.
Yeah, I know it was great.
It was fantastic.
Dude, as soon as I saw the news, like I just looked down at my phone. It was one of those. It was like, wait, what? What?
Yeah,
and I was like, really I've got to tune into the show. Usually Thursdays I can't, but I made an exception.
Oh, nice.
To be able to listen to you on it, because I was like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Phil Baker was a good sport about it, being a Louisville fan. He was good. But Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey and Ethan Moore talked about it this morning. You'll hear that on the mixtape, folks. Don't worry, there's plenty of it. On the mixtape, but I mean, Pitino talked about, you know, Mark Pope and moving on from Calipari and putting all of the effort and support behind the new coach at Kentucky. And you know, I think he says the following, okay? And this is what Patino said, and quote, "Cal did a terrific job, but what happens with a lot of coaches, and there are exceptions to the rule like Bill Self and Mike Krzyzewski, is familiarity breeds contempt. You're there a long time, you get a little stale, you need another journey. This is now Mark Pope's time. Cal was great to the University of Kentucky, brought them a lot of success. We wish him certainly well at Arkansas. Now it's time to move on and have a whole different brand." So a couple of things to this. Number one, I think Patino's right about that. I think things have grown stale, and his words on familiarity breeds contempt, I feel like that fits late Calipari to a T, with his relationship with the media, his relationship with the fan base, and then, you know, Mark Pope's his guy. Of course, he's going to come out and give Mark Pope all of his support. But I found it interesting, it's time to move on and have a whole different brand. And right now, we're still trying to figure out what is Mark Pope's brand. You know, what exactly? We know who Mark Pope is as a person. We know his brand is as a person. But what's his stamp on the Kentucky team going to look like? What is that brand?
And I think not just for Mark Pope, but that's for Pat Kelsey also.
Yeah.
It's like, in premise, everything that they've brought to the table is great. It's revitalized both programs, or at least the fan bases.
Yeah.
You've got excitement in recruiting, but now how does that translate not just at a Power 5 job, but to blue chip programs?
Yeah.
What does that entail? What does that look like? And that's going to be the biggest question, because again, it's not like with DeBoer's taking over Alabama, he was already in the national championship one. He has a record success as a head coach in the Power 5.
Yes.
To then be able to go from BYU or Charleston,
mm-hmm,
to now you're in the big leagues now.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing with big boys now.
Yeah.
You can argue about having this, using what got you there to begin with. That's usually the rule.
Yeah.
You do what you do that got you there.
Sure.
But I feel like this is a little bit of an exception where you've got to change a little bit because just of the nature of the beast.
And you know, speaking of Kalen DeBoer, to your point, he went from, you know, Washington, where he had built that up and had success and went to national championship, and Michael Penix was a Heisman finalist and you know, a very, very, very good football team. And he goes into an even better football team. So he's not taking over Alabama when Bama's at a low point. You know, Nick Saban left that school in a position to where they still made the college football playoff. And, you know, they may have lost the SEC, and they won the SEC championship.
Yes.
Whereas Mark Pope is taking over Kentucky, not at like its lowest point by far, but at a low, you know, a low because of the tournament stuff.
A low for the program itself, but I would say a very low point for the fan base as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Not everyone, I don't want to speak in hyperbole, but the vast majority of fans were fed up with it.
Yeah.
And you talk about Louisville, I mean, it was just, Pat Kelsey just needs to win 6 games and it's an improvement. It's like,
I mean, it was cratered.
Exactly.
I mean, Louisville was 1,000% cratered. There wasn't any argument about moving Kenny Payne out of the way and getting Pat Kelsey. So they're both taking over programs. They're vastly different lows. Vastly different lows. And it's weird to say Kentucky was at a low when they were a 3 seed last year in the NCAA tournament, but they just weren't winning those games.
But not even just a low. You could read the writing on the wall, though.
Yeah.
Second half of the season, you could tell. It's like, this isn't okay.
Things were contentious.
Yes.
Yes, things were contentious. Whereas, you know, Pope and Kelsey comes in and it's, yeah, woo, yeah, yeah, yeah. And DeBoer comes in and all the Alabama fans are giving him a side eye.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving me a side eye and they're like, okay, under Nick Saban, this is the expectation. You better not fall under that.
Right. And you look at, I mean, PK's not, KP's not at Louisville anymore. Calipari is not there anymore. There is no ghost of either of them haunting the place.
Yeah, yeah.
The ghost of Nick Saban is ever present at Alabama.
He's got a statue.
Not just a statue. He has his own office.
He's still there.
He's still there.
Yeah, that's a great.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he'll be on College Game Day, but...
Yeah, he'll be working for ESPN and doing that, but, I mean, he's
still there.
He's still there. He lives there. His family's there. His wife is there, obviously. He's going to be a presence, and if there's ever a spot in this season where, you know, fans are pissed off and they're not winning like they've won in the past, you know, how long until it's like... Can Saban finish the season out? Can he just come back and finish the season out? Can he come back? I mean, the Boer has to have that in the back of his mind. I mean, there's no doubt.
Who is the name of the Kansas State coach that retired and came back? Snyder something.
Oh, Bill Snyder.
Bill Snyder.
Bill Snyder, yeah. Bill Snyder.
I mean, it's not unheard of. Again, I'm not saying that Kalen DeBoer is going to fail at Alabama.
I'm not either.
I'm not saying that.
He's going to have every advantage in the world.
Yes. But it's a whole lot different when the coach is still... present.
Yeah, you're right.
You can even make a little bit of an argument for when Rich Brooks retired, because his presence at UK was still there. Even though he's out in Oregon, he still came to games. He still showed up.
His Twitter handle's still like UK football coach Rich Brooks or whatever it is. So it's like he never changed it. He's still, and I think the headshot's still him in a Kentucky polo. So yeah, his presence was still there and still felt. All right, let's go ahead and get to our guy, Jonathan Littner. Jonathan, how you doing? It's hot outside. Didn't see you this week the way I saw you last week, but good to talk to you anyway.
Yeah, I guess I got booted from Soccer City. They didn't need me this week.
They fired you.
I can't blame them.
Yeah, Milby and Stetson were both looking pretty great. They Stetson Bennett, he looked like he just came in out of a jog. He I don't know if it was his shirt, but it looked a little damp. So I don't know. He's a fit guy anyway, so it would not surprise me. But I did.
Did you say Stetson Bennett?
Yeah, that I was about.
Oh shoot, not Stetson Bennett.
I didn't know Stetson Bennett was this big old soccer guy.
I mean, I didn't think he'd make it in the league, but I didn't know we'd have him doing soccer shows.
He's doing soccer
shows. Dropped off.
The inflation in California is through the roof.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs any side gig.
Anything he can get. Here's since Stetson Bennett here. Benton Newman is what I meant to say. Why did I say Stetson Bennett? They're not even close. What the hell's wrong with me? My gosh, it was the heat. I was out in the heat, guys.
Jonathan, I really didn't know the end of that sentence, and I don't think he knew either.
I think I've heard somebody say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll start here. Jonathan. Lou City. I mean, not a great showing last week. A little bit, but an upset when they played last Saturday. I don't think anyone saw that coming. You know, the team. You know, they need to bounce back. So, what's on tap for Lou City? I think that people were shocked at the result.
Yeah, I was certainly shocked to think we hadn't lost all season at home, and then you lose 5-2 to a team I think that had only won one or two games this season. So it's a weird one. I mean, you look at it was not a true 5-2 loss in the sense that we got outplayed. They scored a couple of, you know, the nicest goals you'll ever see, and we shot the ball 27, 28 times and just, you know, didn't hit the back of the net. I mean, as simple as that. So, you know, I guess if you're going to lose 5-2, you want to dominate the game and go, well, if we played that game 10 times, we'd probably win 8 or 9 of them. So
right.
One of those situations. And you know, they go to Birmingham tomorrow for a 7:30 kickoff. Obviously, you'll be able to listen on ESPN Louisville. And the team, though, we've lost 3 other times this season, and each time they bounce back and they win the next one. So it'll be another test of resilience. And I think that's always a sign of a good team. You're definitely not going to win them all over the course of a 34-game right. season, but when you do have those rare stumbles, if you can respond the right way, I'll feel really good again about where we are this year.
And as you pointed out, there's 34 games. They play well into the fall, so there's always those letdown games, and every team and every sport deals with it. So, yeah, I don't think there's any need to worry or take any major storylines from that other than it was just a bad night, bad performance, and bounce back and win again. Now, you know, to racing Louisville, Jonathan, I mean, we heard the promo, Fill the Fam, game at 4 p.m. on Saturday on ESPN, which is really cool. So we're going to push for a big crowd there. And there's some promotions coming up. But again, it's on ESPN. It'd be really cool if the people of the city showed out for the professional women's soccer team. Who are they playing? What are the promotions? What info can you give us for the folks heading out to Lynn Family Stadium this Saturday?
Well, the first thing I want to mention, and this is something that came up since we texted earlier this week, so that the game is 4 o'clock tomorrow against Bay FC at Lynn Family Stadium. Like you mentioned, it's Fill the Fam. We normally try to get one of our largest crowds of the season for this game. We did decide to run a promo because, you know, again, I know I'm always saying, if you get somebody out to one game, they're going to want to come back. And we see it happen every single game. So I'm like, how do we get a lot of people to come out for their first game? If you have never been to a Racing Louisville game, if you have never bought a ticket from us, you can go to racingloufc.com right now and go to our Fill the Fam page. There's a form on there, and if you fill it out, we are going to send you one complimentary ticket for tomorrow's game.
Whoa!
You got to do it by the close of business today. We're about to shut it down. We've kind of been inundated. But one free ticket for tomorrow's game. If you've never purchased a ticket from us before, we do not make a habit of just giving away free tickets. But like I said, we really believe in the product and just feel like not enough people have been able to see Racing Louisville play, know what it is, you know, really understand. We're in our fourth season, and when you launch a brand in a pandemic, I know I always say it, it's just hard to get the word out. So we are trying to get the word out a little bit more here.
That's awesome. I mean, again, get a ticket. That's fantastic. That's a hell of a deal, a hell of a promotion, Jonathan. So what else do you have going on at the stadium that people can look for besides that awesome deal that you just heard about here live on the airwaves? What else can people look at tomorrow if they're going out to the game?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff. So gates open at 2:30. We have our regular $2 pregame happy hour, beer, Pepsi products, water. We're also giving away free T-shirts to the first 2,000 fans. We'll have live music. I don't know if you all remember, we were talking at Thunder about live band karaoke.
So yes,
we're bringing that back.
Yeah,
that was. You get mixed results, but I think maybe that's part of the fun. We had some people who went up there and crushed it. We had some people who went up there and you know, they probably crushed a few too many beers. So I look forward to bringing that back tomorrow. So we'll have live music before the game. And then after the game, sort of our version of Kids Run the Bases, if your kid is 12 and under, they can come onto the field, take a penalty kick against our practice goalkeeper, and, you know, nice little photo op and opportunity to come down on the field. So we're excited about tomorrow, all the things we have going on surrounding the game. But in terms of the game itself, Racing Louisville is still in a playoff position. They're in eighth place, and every point is going to count this season. And this is a team that when we get big crowds and they have good support, I mean, they really respond to it. And I think it really impacts the other team as well. Our largest crowd was that Thunder game that I mentioned. We had like 11,500 there.
That's awesome.
That game 5-1. So hopefully, you know, we can wind up with something similar tomorrow.
And then after that game, maybe head to a bar or go home in the comfort of your home, your own home, and then check out Lou City as they're on the road at Birmingham Legion FC. They're in fifth place in the league right now as Lou City still sits atop with 35 points. What's the road game going to look like for Lou City as they kick off at 7:30? You can hear that here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Yeah, I mean, I like our chances. I always do. I mean, I think, you know, you put anybody in a Lou City jersey, I'm like, I think we're going to beat them. So I always have this, you know, true bias. But, you know, Birmingham is a team that like you said, they're in fifth, and they've gotten some results lately, including this past week. But whereas last weekend when we lost 5-2, that was our third game in 8 days. So you go Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Birmingham is not doing that this week. So they're coming off a road trip on Wednesday, coming home to play. So we're the fresh team. They should be the tired team, and I think in those scenarios, even though we're playing away from home, it definitely helps your chances.
All right, love it. Jonathan Littner, appreciate. Go Fill the Fam. One more time, Jonathan, how does someone get that complimentary ticket? Let our folks know.
Yes, racingloufc.com/fillthefam. Go to that page. There's a link to the form there. Just try to get it filled out before the close of business today, and our ticketing team should take care of you.
All right, there we go. Well, no show next Friday. Is this the 4th of July holiday? So we'll catch back up with you in a couple weeks. Have a happy 4th of July. Enjoy the weekend. Hope you guys crunch it tomorrow. Jonathan, thank you so much.
All right, yeah, appreciate the time. I'll see you on the other side of the holiday.
All right, there we go. Jonathan Littner. I mean, complimentary ticket, man. I mean, you can't beat that. It's very rare that you get a deal like that where it's like, hey, buy a ticket. We're going to give you one when you fill out this form. So that's awesome.
And it's usually because of a crappy event. And that's just not the case when you go to these Lou City and Racing Louisville games. I mean, that's a great deal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal. And I think people will show out tomorrow and fill that place up. So I'm looking forward to it for them. All right, let's read some text here before we take another break. Texter, this Patino stuff reminds me of the Jason Anderson clip of the poor kid asking for scraps. Is Patino the poor kid asking for scraps, or the Louisville the poor kids asking for scraps? Who is it? You can convince me either way. I could see either way for sure. Texter, Blank will probably have something to say about the wardrobe. Finest meats and cheeses. Oh yeah, Blank's always dressed the nines. He always has a polo shirt on, some nice shorts, some Gucci shoes or something. Yeah, Blank and Baker's. I mean, he laughs at people like me that come in dressed like this. My man's always dressed up and ready to go. Now, he's not wearing a three-piece suit or anything, but, you know, he's got sales to close.
You relate more to the common man.
That's right.
I look at you and I'm like, this is a guy I could drink a beer with.
That's right. They call me Scranton Strebel. I'm your average Joe. I'm your average Joe. You want to crack a Busch Light with me or Blank, it's going to be me. Now, if you want some Chardonnay, you'll go with Blanket Baker. Yeah. But if you want to hang out on the back deck, drink some beers, listen to some classic rock, I'm your guy.
And that's why Blank's able to close sales deals and you can't.
Exactly. Yes, 100%. Yes, that's why Blake's landing the big checks. And I'm here making, you know, Patino jokes for 3 hours. There's a big difference. Texture, I used to laugh at events as some of my relatives that showed up wearing ties that were obviously very old. Went to a wedding last weekend and my only choice was a 25-year-old tie. Don't care anymore. God bless you.
I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you the last time. The last time I wore a tie was because I was in a wedding. Like, yeah. That's the only time I've actually worn a tie. I can't even tell you where my ties are.
I'm with you.
I don't even know where they are.
They're
in
my closet somewhere. I think they're on. I have like a top shelf of my closet. I think they're up there. But I've gone with the sport coat, button-up shirt, no tie look. I think that's nice. That's what I normally, if I, like for Reed's baptism, that's what I wore.
Right.
And then for graduation, the 8th grade graduation, which I emceed, yes, thank you very much. I also went tie-less. I just went button-up. Sport coat. I think that's the way you go. Let's say you're going to a wedding or a funeral or something like that.
Even a wedding and funeral, I haven't worn a tie. Like it was only because I was in the wedding and the bride said we had to wear ties.
Ties are one of the dumbest inventions. Wardrobe wise,
the greatest Mike Leach quote was when he did his first SEC media day.
Yeah,
and they asked him, you know, thanks for dressing up, and he was wearing khakis, a white shirt, and a tie with a maroon blazer on.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, how are you enjoying it here? And he goes, well, I'd like to go back in time and find the guy that invented ties and shoot him.
God, man, we miss him every day.
Like, welcome to the SEC, Mike Leach.
Well, Blank has texted in. He's more of a Cabernet guy. Sorry, Blank.
Have you ever heard the story of Leach in the fake playbook?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Classic story.
Remind me.
It was a fake script.
Yeah, he did a fake script, so he jokingly was like, all right, because I think he was playing like Tennessee or something.
It was when he was at Oklahoma, and they were playing against Texas.
Okay.
Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, and so he had like one of his like interns or like random like GAs just like walk around with like a fake script, and then he was like, all right, just like casually walk by the other like sidelines and then like drop it before the game. Before they went back to the locker rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
So then they go back to the locker rooms and he's like, hey coach, I dropped it. They picked it all up and they were all like oozing over it. And
yeah, like,
all
right, oh perfect. Man, we got their script. Let's go.
The plan is in, we're ready to go. And they ended up winning that game, I'm guessing.
No, they didn't, but they got up 14-0.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma was huge underdogs in that game.
Okay.
And, like, the script, it went the complete opposite of the play. So the first play that they had on the script was a sweep left.
Yeah.
So their first play was a sweep left reverse right pass to the tight end. And the tight end was wide open.
Just wide open. That is fantastic. Man, what a gem. What an absolute gem. That we miss in college football.
Oh my gosh. Hal Mumme was saying a story about him at his funeral.
Yeah.
And apparently they got into a huge altercation, a huge argument over over a play that happened during the game. And they always sit with each other on the plane.
Yeah.
And Hal Mumme intentionally put Mike in the back of the plane because of it. And then as soon as someone got up from sitting next to Hal Mumme, Mike Leach got out of his seat and went and sat down and stared at him and goes, "Well, obviously you're mad at me. So do you want to talk about it?"
That's perfect. That is so Mike Leach. He didn't give a damn. He's like, "You know what? I'm going to sit by you. We're going to hatch this out now." Texter, I still can't believe you just mentioned Stetson Bennett during a soccer hit. Yeah, I know. I'm a bit off my game today. I don't know why. I think it's because vacation's like right around the corner. And I'm not mailing it in. I'm still energetic and we have plenty to talk about. But yeah, I don't think everything's clicking the way it should be, Max. I think that's the case. Texter, Kenny Payne voice, 25-year-old Ty, don't care. Oh, KP, Kenny Payne. All right, let's take a break. On the other end, Pat Kelsey did talk yesterday. We didn't get to it because of all the Patino stuff and guests and everything. So we'll play some Pat Kelsey sound and react to it as he spoke to the press the way Mark Pope did earlier this week. So we'll do that next. Hey, guys, it's hot outside. I was out in that heat for a while today, and man, was I missing my Bryant system that BJ Heating and Cooling put in for me. I wish I had that cold air right on my face as I sat there and watched a softball team play. It was fun, but man, I was hot. I was yearning for that AC. So if you're having an issue with your air conditioning unit, if it's not getting cold enough, if it's sporadically clicking off or whatever the case may be, it's blowing out lukewarm air, whatever it is. Get a hold of BJ Heating and Cooling. They're a factory authorized Bryant dealer. They also have those Bryant mini splits to control the temperature in a room if you don't want the whole house. If it's just one room that's really giving you some issues, they can hook you up that way. All that stuff is ductless, so they don't have to tear out your ceiling or your walls to install them, which is great. You can call them today. Schedule a free estimate. You can get 0% financing with approved credit. If you're having a problem, do it right now. Try to get it in before the weekend happens. And that's something. The one less thing you have to worry about this weekend, and your house will be cool and ready to go. They're locally and family owned, celebrating 40 years of servicing Kentuckiana. Trust the people that I trust, that you should trust. BJ Heating and Cooling, BJHeatCool.com.